What's up with your boy KFC, and this is the Podfathers. I am heading out of town as we speak right now, hopping on the bus to drive to Houston for the Super Bowl, where I will be gone for 12 days, which, when you're a married man with a wife and a kid at home, and you've just moved into a new house, going away for that amount of time is probably grounds for divorce, if we're being honest. And so I am getting out ahead of this one. I have already gone to Books.com, and I have already placed my order to have flowers delivered right in the middle of it. Day six, I'm going to have the flowers delivered. So right when she's, like, really starting to hate my guts, the flowers will show up and let her know that I'm sorry for being away for so long. Books is the best way to send your wife flowers to get out of the doghouse. It is the most important tool I can provide to you as a father trying to help all the other dads out there. Books.com, they have volcano flowers. What does that mean? It means that they grow their flowers on the side of a volcano. They grow them in the fields of Colombia, in the mountains all around the world, so that these flowers are the most beautiful flowers you've ever seen in your life. It's the only thing that can get you out of the doghouse when you're deep, deep in trouble. Right now, if you use my promo code KFC, you are going to get a discount of 20% off your order. So go to Books.com, B-O-U-Q-S.com, promo code KFC, get 20% off, and get yourself directly out of the doghouse. Podfather's time, let's go.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Another edition of the Podfathers, your three favorite dads who don't know shit about parenting, here to talk to you, here to tell stories, here to try to give you advice and help cope with parenting life. Now, I got Uncle Chaps dialing in on Skype from Texas, as he usually does, but I have Dikembe Mutombo on the phone, which you're going to learn here on Podfathers. If Clem is calling in, something's gone disastrously wrong in his house and he is in the trenches. What do we got this time around, Clemmy?
I have whipped myself up already into a froth right now. I've been sick for a full month since last Christmas, or Christmas time. My baby is sick for, like, the third time since Christmas. It snowed out last night because I live in fucking Winterfell. And the plow guy knocked my garbage can, like, 50 yards, garbage everywhere, picking up garbage to start the day. And then it was like, and let's record a podcast about parenting and all the mistakes we've made that's led us to this very point. So I've whipped myself into a frenzy, and I'm trying just to keep it together right now for my boys on the line right now.
Anytime Clem's on the phone, you know we're going to get a good one. Out, like, we throw the whole I give good hugs and I'm a good dad out the window, and we get the, like, motherfucker Clem. That's the Clem I like, the motherfucker Clem.
I was actually thinking Riggs's question last week, what's the meanest thing you've ever said to your kid? And I remember saying, like, we're going to give you away, but she didn't understand. I think what was worse is when she does understand, when I told her, I'm leaving and never coming home. I told her that, like, 2 weeks ago. And I was like, that's probably worse because she understood what I was saying. My wife's like, you can't say that to her. I'm like,
yeah, you really can't say that one. I mean, I guess I'm not one to talk, but that's not something you should.
Now
you got to throw on one extra episode of Daniel Tiger. Grown-ups come back.
Oh, and that's the other thing. I love the Toy Story movies. They're, like, amongst my favorite movies ever. Like, they're in my top 50, number ones in my top 10, maybe. I've seen the Toy Story trilogy at least 100 times from front to end, each one. I'm starting to lose my fucking mind now. So, like, I'm definitely in a weird place right now, fellas.
Nothing really encapsulates kids more. Like, they ruin your life, and they'll ruin all your favorite things, including the Toy Story trilogy. That's what they do. They take all your happiness, and they suck it away, and they ruin your life. Even Andy and Buzz. And nobody is safe, man. Nobody is safe from the wrath of your children. Today we got... We're gonna talk about a whole bunch of stuff. We're gonna talk about the things that your kids stop you from doing. We're gonna get into a good few emails from the diaper bag, a whole new segment about other parents. But today we begin talking about house life. If you've been listening to KFC Radio, you've heard me struggling in my suburban transition, and there's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad, and I feel like it's something that almost every single parent goes through when you have that first kid. You, if you're lucky enough, if you can afford it, you graduate from apartment life and you get into house life, homeowner life, and it's real different. It's just as hard as having a kid is transitioning into this whole new world of spending all of your money on a house and learning how to live in a home. So that's where I'm at. I'm the newest dad. I'm the newest homeowner. I feel like I am. You guys are ghosts of Christmas future for me. You've kind of laid out the blueprint, except for that motherfucker Chaps, because he just lives in some fantasy land in Texas. You don't teach me anything, Chaps. You're useless. Clem, on the other hand, living up in Winterfell. I feel like, you know, when I hear about the plow knocking over your garbage and how you got a shovel and how the Verizon guys, blah, 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 it's always like, oh, this, I'm going to learn from Clem. He's going to teach me how to survive this life.
Yeah, my wife also was like, we were supposed to have rain. You guys got rain down by you?
Mm-hmm.
My wife's like, oh, yeah, the roof's leaking here, and then our attic is starting to leak. And I'm like, well, we're completely fucked then. Like, I can't do any of that stuff. So, like, people can come and give me a price. I'm going to pay it because I don't know how to fix it, and I don't even know what a fair price is.
Yo,
you can tell me $100,000.
That's the truest shit ever, man.
So true.
Truest. Like, when I first moved here, it was a brand new neighborhood, and we were like the third house on the block. So nobody had big trees. Whenever you move into a new subdivision in Texas, they just basically plow down the entire fucking city and start putting in houses. So we have these little trees that are supposed to grow and be like white oaks that are going to grow and be huge. Well, mine, I guess I have like bad soil in my yard because I would like water it. I would do everything I was supposed to. They wouldn't grow at all. And now all my neighbors have like big ass trees in the yard, and I still have these little Charlie Brown looking motherfuckers growing in my front. And so my wife is finally tired of, because she knows I don't give a shit about yard work. Like, I hire yard people. I don't care about pulling weeds. I don't care about any of that, like how the front aesthetics really looks. But my wife is like so tired of it. She was like, this spring we are paying somebody, we're gonna dig a big ass hole, they're gonna dig a big ass hole and put a big tree in. And I'm like, finally, like, we've got to the place where, you know, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm just not going to be throwing like pickaxes and fucking shovels and shit. Like, no, dude, just come here and do it. How much it costs? Like, I don't even know if that's reasonable, but if you say it, like, I trust you, let's just do it.
Listen,
just
girls.
Dig a hole, put a tree in.
Listen,
there.
Girls, gender roles are completely out the fucking window, okay? It's 2017. Like, if you're going to expect me to be out there with the pickaxes and on the roof and fixing all the mechanics and all that shit, well, then how about you just, like, get in the kitchen and cook me some food? Like, that, those two things, those are out the window now. So let's just be realistic here. Me, you, the average guys out there, have no fucking clue how to do any of that. Right.
I just want to say that was Kevin Clancy. You can reach him at barstoolsports.com. Kevin Clancy, that was not Chaps.
What are you talking about? My point is that you can't put anybody in these roles anymore. Chaps, that was the most progressive thing I've ever said.
Yeah, that might be true. So, I completely agree. Like, you can't just have like gender roles and say that you got to do the yard work. My wife, no, she's better at it than I am. She's better at putting shit together than I am.
Right.
Like, she's basically better than I am. So,
period.
Like, period in discussion there. But the yard work thing is such bullshit, especially when you live by dudes who want to keep the mantra of being like a macho man alive, that I do the grass because nobody does my grass better than me. Shut the fuck up. A professional does it better than you.
Dude, let's call a spade a spade. The Mexican guys I can hire to come do the landscaping, they're going to make my shit look so much nicer than me. Period. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I don't have to. And sure, you probably like spend a lot more in the long run, but short-term startup, you're not buying edgers. You're not buying. I don't even own a lawnmower. I don't own a weed whacker. I don't own any of that shit. Like, I just pay them like $35 every 2 weeks, and they come out, and that's it.
Clem, you're a big lawnmower guy, though, no?
I was a lawnmower guy by, like, I don't have the money to, like, not
by default,
people.
Right.
So, I never did it as a kid. My parents always paid someone. So I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, like, take care of my yard. And I'm like, now I know why my parents did it. And we always say this. Fuck the Joneses. Fuck them up. They're stupid asses. My neighbors, they do the
Hell
same
yeah.
thing. They pay, they hire someone, and they have like this beautiful yard, and my wife looks outside, and she's like, well, our grass is fucking yellow in the middle of July, and everyone else is green. And I'm just like, what do you want me to do? The hardest part, like Chaps, like you guys said, the only hard part about like your wife realizing you're not the man she thought she was getting, it's like the vasectomy. That little snip, And then it's all good after then. It's just once your wife realizes that you're not nearly as good of a man as she thought she was, that's the hardest part. And then after that, it's all gravy. Then they start
and
like...
I think it flowed downhill a little bit more for my wife because she expected, I think, marrying a Marine, there was like certain,
oh, you
like,
set the bar too high. Yeah.
So she was like, oh, he's going to be able to do yard work, probably some carpentry. I can't do any of that shit. Like, I think the most manly thing I've ever done is take apart my garbage disposal with the shrimp story. That was probably the most like house dad shit I've ever done. And how I did, I probably couldn't do it again, but it was just like my genes took over.
You just blacked out for a second.
I got it done in that moment. But I mean, that was 3 years ago, and I still talk about it on like every third podcast.
That's your go-to story. It's all you got.
Yeah. So like, remember the shrimp situation.
If you were listening to KFC Radio, like I said, I've been recapping my first like 72 hours in the burbs. I'll retell the story here because it was really one of my more incompetent moments. The washing machine was broken, fellas. It was not filling up with any water. My wife was like, "You got to go fix this." Again, like this gender role shit. I was like, why on earth do you think I can fix a fucking washing machine? But I go down there and I just start turning every knob and every valve I can find. And boom, lo and behold, the thing starts filling up with water. Hey, I fixed the problem. Little did I know that one of the valves that I turned opened up a like hose valve on the other side of the house that just poured like 1,000 gallons of water into my backyard. Like right before the nor'easter came, I already flooded the backyard by myself. I then ran over my neighbor's big flower pot with my car in his driveway, and then my neighbor gave me free marmalade and was like expecting to like chit chat and be nice with me, and I was like, I don't want to talk to you at all. I have made the worst impression on this neighborhood in just one weekend. I can't even imagine the damage I'm gonna do to this town over the course of the next several years. It's like,
so you're not, you don't like to talk to the neighbors?
I don't want to talk to anyone, chaps. Ever.
I'm a big neighbor.
Oh, I could see that.
I love it.
I would hate to live next to you.
We bring out the kids. I get the bikes. I got a beer in a hand, like probably two beers and a Yeti. I'm just like, Frankie, what's going on, my man? How you doing? Your roses look good.
I am a big proponent of good fences make good neighbors. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you to borrow stuff from me. I'm not going to ask you for anything. None of it. I don't like interacting with people, period, chaps.
See, I'm a mix of the two of you, where I am like Kevin, where I don't really love like talking to strangers or meeting new people. But like when I moved into my neighborhood, it was a lot of the old guard. It was families that have been there for years, right? And I knew some of the people from when I was a kid because I didn't move far, but there's also people that I didn't know. My own neighbors never introduced themselves. I'm like, fuck you. So now what I'm doing is I'm building a squad now. So when new parent people come in and they have young kids, we go over, we introduce ourselves. So then it's like all the old folks, we're going to all be friends. Fuck you guys. Get out of our neighborhood. Like I'm trying to start an alliance in my neighborhood.
Yo, I was going to say, is Clem like declaring war or something?
Basically.
I like it, man. You got to be aggressive. And that's true. Because I have some old neighbors that don't want to talk to me. I think since I'm bearded and tattooed and stuff. And it's fucked up because I make some good-ass home bread. So does my wife. We make some good-ass homemade bread. And we'll bring your ass some fucking cookies for Christmas nice to us.
Fuck your cookies. Fuck you, chaps.
Fuck you, man.
I don't want your shit. I don't want your homemade bread. I don't want your cookies. Keep your bearded and tattooed
bread,
ass
Kevin.
Out of my face.
You haven't had my bread. You're going to taste my cooking for the first time next week, and you are going to be regretting you said that because now you don't get some. It's going to be like Jersey Shore where, like, you don't get veal parmesan night. You don't get spaghetti night. You don't get none of that shit.
I mean,
cut off.
I'm not – I definitely don't like the neighbors. I mean, I'm not like gonna be an asshole right to their face, like the old lady. I chit chatted and all that. I just don't
blog about them.
I mean, maybe perhaps me and Feidelberg talked about what happens when she dies next. I don't know. Maybe perhaps we talked about that. My main thing is I don't, in general, in life, and certainly with neighbors, I don't like taking favors or handouts because then I owe you. I don't like owing anybody. I don't like having any debts. So I don't want to have to like shovel your walk because one time you gave me some jelly. Okay.
All right. So that we weren't going to talk about this, but I'm going to bring it up. This is a little off the cuff action. We didn't talk about this before. So my wife went with one of her friends to a bridal shower, and the lady is from Mexico originally. And she was telling my wife that in Mexico, the dad and the mom don't pay for the wedding, that they'll have like almost a registry type thing where somebody sponsors the cake or somebody sponsors the wedding dress. And in like the bulletin or the announcement, they'll be like, the cake is brought to you by this person, which
brilliant.
At first is brilliant. But you know you were going to have those assholes who are like, yeah, but you remember that time I sponsored your cake and you have it right there that I sponsored, and they're going to try to hold it over your head forever.
Favors,
so
man.
I just rather have like a tiny ass wedding, nothing going on, than somebody 20 years down the road be like, well, I think you should watch my grandchildren for the weekend because I did sponsor your cake.
Because I gave you a fucking cake. No. Anytime you're on the hook for any of that sort of shit, I don't like it. I don't want it. That's why I don't want to talk to you, because all of a sudden we end up doing favors for each other. I'm not in on it. I know this is part of suburban life, but, you know, Clem, you sound like you're angling for the Iron Throne and you want to, like, rule your neighborhood. Me, I just want to be left alone. I'm going to be the guy who turns the lights out on Halloween. Don't even come to my house for candy. I'm out.
And I'm the guy that has the fucking king-size bar. Are they king-size bars? They're not king-size. They're like the ones you get at the, you know, the store, the legit size, the legit candy bars. I was just going to compare myself to a Lannister, too, before you said that Game of Thrones. I'm like, man, I got to get out of Thrones right now.
Seriously.
But like, as soon as I have a fucking debt to anyone, not even neighbor-related, but anywhere-related, if someone does something for me, it's immediately, like, over my head. Like, I now need to get this person back. Like, I owe them, and I fucking hate that.
Nobody wants that.
I will say this, Kevin. If your neighbor, old fucking Mrs. McGee or whatever the fuck her name is, if she was the fucking heir or the founder of Insomniac Cookies and she brought you over a fucking display of Insomniac Cookies, I'm pretty sure your tone would be a little different than the orange marmalade.
True. Now, that kind of plays into it also. It's like my neighbor gave me a shitty gift. I don't like you when you give me shitty gifts. If you want to give me Insomniac Cookies, maybe we could be friends. Step your gift game up, Mrs. McGee. Come on.
I saw you tweet out this morning at 8 o'clock that you were in the rat race, and I was like, what the hell is Kevin's not in the office until like 10:30 usually.
Yo,
what is he doing right now? I was concerned that like your clocks hadn't been set at the new house.
My new life. I was the first one in the office this week so far. K. Marco walked in and saw me and was like, he acted like he saw a ghost. He's like, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, man, this is my new life.
Is everything all right at home?
Yeah. I mean, aside from me flooding the backyard and wanting to murder my neighbors and stuff, yeah, things are just going great. I'll tell you what, the good part of home life, there was like a 48-hour window where I decided I was like Tim the Tool Man Taylor. I was like, I own this place. It's mine. I'm actually going to put some blood, sweat, and tears into it. I'm going to build it up nice and make sure. And the resale value and blah, blah, blah. And by like Monday morning, I was like, fuck all that noise. But I had a brief, fleeting moment where I was really actually into my house. And it really all stems from the televisions. Now, if you follow me on Twitter, I was tweeting all last week about my tiny ass TV because I had already moved the nice TVs to the new house. And so I was watching TV on a screen that was probably the size of a laptop. And when I got to my new house, I had my big ass TVs. They were back and they were mounted on the wall. I've never had a TV mounted on the wall. And let me tell you, it's high society. It is the glamour life, okay? When you walk in and you got that thing on the wall, no cable boxes, no wires, and it's all up there above the mantle, I felt like I was like rich as fuck for a moment. I was like, oh,
and you did it, but you did it the right way. You didn't do it yourself.
Hell no. I can't do that stuff, man.
I did it the wrong way. I had the same exact, but I had the Tim the Tool Man Taylor shit, and I was like, I'm going to do this shit myself. My shit's still crooked. I lived here for like 5 years. It's like off-center on the wall. I don't care, man. Like every time I tweet a picture of my TV, somebody's like, oh, you couldn't have measured it? I did measure it. I'm not good at math. Fuck you. Like
I tried, and I suck.
Yeah.
I mean,
are hard.
I have like a family friend who's a contractor who's been doing a lot of like the little renovations before he moved in, and I bought the TV mounts myself. And I was kind of like, yeah, John, don't worry. I got him coming. I'll take care of the TVs. And he looked at me and was like, no, you won't. Me and my guys will take care of the TVs. I mean, I was mounting it onto a chimney. So it was right into brick. I would have absolutely zero chance of being able to successfully mount a TV onto a brick wall. No fucking shot. So, you know, chaps, maybe you just needed like a shrimp to be involved. Maybe it's the shrimp that makes you able to be like a handyman.
Well, I have big news on the TV front too.
Oh boy, hit me.
My wife cleared me hot on a 75-inch TV for the bedroom.
Wow.
For our living room.
Yo, I got 65 and it's like I said, I walk in, I'm like, I'm king of the castle, baby. Look at my 65. 75 is like a fucking movie screen.
I can't
wait.
What
they have downstairs?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I shouldn't say movie screen because you actually have a theater in your house, you son of a bitch.
That's true.
That's a life changer right there, Chaz. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I mean, I'm nervous about it because then I think I have to change the brackets from like the one that goes from like 55 to 70. I think I have to go up another one, but I probably won't. I'll probably just try to make it work and see what happens.
Well, that segues beautifully to a new segment that we called, we're tentatively calling it Don't Judge Me. And I think what was the first title? Shut the Fuck Up, Other Parents.
Yeah, first of all, fuck you.
Fuck you, other parents. As I put the TV up, I tweeted out a picture of me and Shay watching some football. And people were tweeting me about how I need to have more, like, safety things installed because the TV's going to fall on my kid and my house isn't baby-proofed enough. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. And you know what? No. Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
So, like, leave me alone. My TV is fine. It's not going to fall on my kid. And don't talk to me about my baby-proofing habits, okay? You raise your kid, I'll raise mine. It's fine. Just shut the fuck up and don't judge me. Now, Chaps, I will have to say, you perhaps putting a 75-inch TV on a 55-inch bracket, maybe not the best of ideas, but I'm really more looking out for your television, not your kids.
Yeah, but then you just got to remember, deny, deny, deny. Like, that didn't happen.
No.
Like, if it fell, like, there's nothing on there that said you needed a bigger bracket. How was I supposed to know?
No, we'll delete these tapes. We'll edit that. Don't worry. There's going to be no
evidence.
I'm not
worried about it. My biggest one when I say don't judge me is always grocery store. I always end up angry as fuck at the grocery store. That's why it blows my mind every time that Clem says that's like his happy place.
He loves
the grocery
it.
Store. I hate it. Hate it when
by
somebody
yourself?
Comes
Even
up.
By yourself?
No, with kids. So
sure.
When I'm there and my kid isn't wearing like a sweater. I mean, it's fucking Texas, man. So at worst, it's going to be like 60 degrees by the time I leave the grocery store in the morning. So they're like, oh, she's not wearing a jacket or mittens. Like, oh, daddy didn't buckle you in while you're standing up while he's getting dressed. Like, if she falls out, like, she deserved it. Like, she's four at this point. Like, let her live.
Also, it's like, you know, she's not going to fall off the edge of a building here. She's in a fucking shopping cart. Let's relax, folks. It's not like we're like driving on the highway with her strapped to the hood of the car. We're just in a grocery store. Everybody calm down.
And then my second one, this week at daycare. Tell me how you guys would have responded to this. All right, so my daughter is bad as shit. We've established that. A little one's bad.
I believe the phrase is she's a little fucker.
Yeah, a little fucking terrorist. So she's at nap time, which nap time at her school is an hour and a half for four-year-olds. Which I think is a little long because she's not, I mean, she's just not going to lay there for an hour and a half during the day when there's toys everywhere. When
right.
She's like basically in the toy store land from the third one. Like she's not going to do it. So I pick her up yesterday and they're like, hey, we let her use an iPad on the mat. And she just laid there with an iPad for like 2 hours, just like looking at stuff for 2 hours. And I'm thinking, that's okay. Like that she was quiet. But 2 hours on an iPad for a four-year-old without asking the parents is a long fucking time.
Yo.
If I can't get away with that when my wife is out of town, I'm sure as fuck not letting the people that I pay to actually watch and raise my children.
What you just said is the difference maker. If I'm at home and I'm watching her by myself, I'll give her the iPad for 6 hours. All sorts of shit, all sorts of don't tell your mothers go on when I'm watching her. But when I'm paying you, I expect a little more. One time I picked her up from daycare and they were like, oh, Shay is our little gymnast. She was like standing in the toy box and she flipped her legs over and like fell out of it and did a somersault and landed on the ground. And like they explained this whole scenario. And I was like, that really sounds like something that would happen to me at my house and I would probably laugh about it. But I pay you a boatload of money to make sure she's not like cracking her skull. So shape up lie to me.
Like that. They phrase things like that like it's, oh, this is cute. She was so bad that we had to give her the iPad because we didn't actually do our job. Like
exactly.
For 2 hours.
Right. Two hours is a long time. And McCartney gets in my truck and she was like, I watched a bunch of movies. And I was like, yeah, you did.
Apparently.
Yeah,
I mean, again, I don't really care about the movies. It's more just like, what am I paying you fucking guys for?
Yeah, I mean, because if that's the case, then I could just throw her upstairs from one of the rooms up there and lock it and it'd be like that book the room.
Like, just lock her in a cage and let her just give her a six pack. Let her
just
get
have
a little
her come
drunk.
Out with She's going to come out nine like she's fucking Jodie Foster Nell, being like, trying to win.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, man. It's almost like you know, I can make fun of my mother. You can't make fun of your mother. I can poorly raise my kid. Not you. You're getting paid. You're supposed to be the professional. You need to do a better job.
Yes.
This is what I feel with this. Only I can judge. Don't you judge me. If I watched the Super Bowl commercial like 2 years ago, remember that one where it was like the flat screen falls on the kid, he gets in the cabinet and like poisons himself?
Mm-hmm.
That's basically like, if you watch that, no one else can tell you what to do. I've seen the commercial. It's a fucked up commercial. And that's it. Like, that's my parenting tutorial. You can't tell me what to do. I've seen the commercial. If that commercial doesn't scare you straight, then it's just not meant to be. Your kid's going to get fucking flying by a TV. So be it. That's just the way it is. That's my 2 cents on the matter.
It's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with Clem. He's either like, oh, I love Sienna so much, or it's like, well, maybe she'll die from a television falling on her. I don't really know. I don't really care.
You're 100% right at the beginning. Phone Clem is angry Clem.
It's great. Every time he's like, oh, I have to call
in. But
it
might have
like,
something
yes!
to do with the fact that I'm angry when anyone calls me. If it's a dial, I'm fucking all my. If I'm like chilling like a two, like anger level of two. The moment my phone starts buzzing, like, and it's a continuous buzz, not like a text message buzz,
I'm like, fuck.
I get fucking heated.
Yeah, like, I mean, Clem, you're just sitting there.
Who has the audacity to call me at this hour? It's 5 p.m.
Clem, you're just sitting there holding the phone to your face like it's like 1998. That's just ridiculous.
Well, that's exactly what I'm doing, fellas. But this is the problem. This is why Angry Clem doesn't come out on other podcasts or even on the Skypes, because I can pace. I'm a pacer.
Oh, you're walking around.
Yeah, wow. So then, like, the blood starts moving, the anger rises to the top like heat, you know, and it's just like hot air, and then I just start spewing.
It's the froth.
Get worked up.
Yeah,
straight up worked up.
By the way, shout out to Clem for his television commercial debut on the Barstool Sports Comedy Central commercial. Clem, you were the best human horse I've ever seen in my entire life.
I didn't take to heart all the compliments you were giving Glennie Balls because he was your horse, and I understand.
I gotta rep my guy.
Horse cowboy relationship is second to none. I'm sure Chap's gonna test down in Texas. I'm sure it's a very like, and it's like a hollow bond.
Yep.
But
yep.
I was
Everybody
fucking
has
putting
horses.
Work that day. Work.
You
and
were.
I'm an old man. Glennie's a young buck still. I'm an old man, and I'm letting Dave. Thank God. Club Dave is out because that's like 50 pounds lighter.
Yeah,
minimum.
That's true.
Gambling Dave. So I was able to like. I was able to kind of, you know, Glennie had a skinny fat guy on him who wasn't showing all his weight, maybe, and Robbie had Big Cat on him, so.
Poor Robbie has, like, a broken back.
I was there. I gave it my all. My first time ever in Europe was going to Latvia, and my first time on TV is dressing up as a horse. So that's how Barstool changes your life.
The content.
Living the dream.
You got to do what you got to do, baby. So that's it. We closed the book on house life for today. I got myself a Lisa mattress delivered right to my new house, a king size. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's this perfect blend. It's got the exact amount of smush, the exact amount of firmness. It is beautiful and comfortable. And the best part of all, it got delivered right to my house. I didn't have to worry about taking delivery. I don't have to worry about people being there. It just comes in a nice box. It's just like anything else that you get delivered, except, bam, you snap your fingers, and you got yourself a mattress. A mattress, a mattress, a mattress. We're going to go down to Houston. We got a whole house full of them out there. I think I'm going to go as far to say that I'm never going to sleep on anything but a Lisa mattress ever again. Everywhere I go, better have a Lisa mattress. It's the only way to sleep. And as we all know, when you're a father, every time you get to lay down in your bed, it's important. You got to maximize that bedtime. You got to get as much sleep as you possibly can. You got to be as comfortable as you can and get as much rest as possible. And Lisa Mattresses is the official mattress of dads everywhere trying to catch a few Z's. So go to lisa.com, use the promo code KFC. You're going to get $75 off that mattress, whether you order it now or in the future. Lisa Mattresses, promo code KFC. Oscar nominations are out today, boys. And there's a whole bunch of movies and a whole bunch of actors nominated in certain roles that I absolutely have not fucking seen. Because once you become a parent, the thought of going to the movies is completely out the window. It's one of the... go ahead.
I've heard of two of the movies. That's it. I heard of Manchester by the Sea and La La Land. And I think one was because of the commercials and one was because Feidelberg blogged about Manchester by the Sea. I haven't even heard of any of the other movies.
That's...
And as someone who went to the movies a lot before kids, it's fucking depressing.
I was going to say the same thing. I was a huge movie guy growing up. I loved going to the theater. And that's when you start to realize just how like out of touch and disconnected you can be when you have a kid, is when you don't even know the movies, when you don't even know what they're talking about, you realize just how much your kid like consumes you. And it's one of the things that I really miss. It's one of the things I really like enjoy doing. Now, you know, Chaps just, he brings the movie theater to him. It's like, it doesn't matter.
Well,
I just put one in my house.
I've been out of the movie game for so long that I don't even recognize that I'm out of the game. To me, like, my movie life is basically like a newlywed couple that just gets married's menu, like if they're going to cook at home. You have, like, spaghetti, pizza, fucking a couple other things, but you basically rotate through, like, five meals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm either watching, like, Braveheart, A Few Good Men, We Were Soldiers, or Born Identity, and that's basically it. Like, those are the movies that I watch. Like, if I'm like, oh, I want to watch a movie, because otherwise, one, kids are always fucking in your business.
Always.
And two, it takes so long. Like, I don't have the attention span to sit down and watch something that's like 3 hours.
Well, see, that's the beauty of it, though. And actually, when we do get a babysitter or we got the grandparents over to watch, it's the thing that's at the top of my list because, A, like I said, I miss it. And so it's kind of like a don't know what you got till it's gone. Like, I didn't always go to the theaters. I wasn't the type of guy, like, if this movie comes out, I got to see it the first day that it drops. But when all of a sudden you can't go anymore, I found myself being like, oh, man, I really want to go to the theater. I want the popcorn. I want the giant soda. I want to get – Clem, do you approve of my move? I get the popcorn, and I get the bunch of crunch, and I pour them in there, and I have the chocolate and the salt all mixed up together. It's a beautiful thing.
I 100% approve of the move. I wouldn't do it personally. I like to just go with the straight popcorn. But any kind of sweet and salty, 100% on. You
got to
get the popcorn when you're there, too. And I don't know about you. Large cherry Coke was like staple.
Cherry Coke. You're a ginger.
Don't you shit
on cherry
Coke.
If I became president of this country, the first thing I would do would ban all cherry Coke. It's disgusting.
No. Cherry Coke at the movie theater is a godsend.
I would go as far to say I would ban all cherry. Hey guys, here's some Coke.
That's ridiculous.
Here's some Coke that tastes like I poured cough medicine in it. Would you like that? No, that tastes fucking disgusting.
Well, here's some Coke that I put a very nice cherry flavoring in. Would you like that? Yeah, that sounds great.
No,
whatever.
No, no, cherry Coke, disgusting. Cherry flavored things, disgusting. It all tastes like Robitussin.
Oh, I can't wait for this episode to come out. Everyone's going to say, Kevin Clancy, this is the worst corner you've ever stood on. You're going to die on the
I will die in that corner happily. I will stand there in my corner not drinking things that taste like cough medicine, and I will die there, and I'll be a happy man for it. Put it on my fucking tombstone, Clem.
You're like the guy that says everything mint tastes like toothpaste. Just because cough medicine has cherry in it or toothpaste has mint doesn't mean those things taste the same. It's a ridiculous
argument.
I'm not a
mint argument. Chocolate guy either, so I'm
yeah, mint chocolate is disgusting. Mint cherry Coke, disgusting. These things are unholy alliances that shouldn't exist at all.
Now, so let's bring it back to dad tips. Okay, dad tips for the movies. You have got to get snacks that you like that your children hate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's just life lessons.
When they're little, go with something really sour because they won't like it. Like Sour Patch Kids, that's the way to go when they're little because they'll be like, I want to try it. They won't like suck on it long enough where it turns from sour to sweet. So they don't know. They just think it's going to be that way. Two, stuff that's going to get them really messy where their moms won't let them have it. You got to go with like nachos with cheese.
Yeah, I love that.
So then the mom's like, no, 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 it's dark. You can't have that. Have some of mommy's popcorn instead. And then you just get this sit back in the brand new reclining seats. They kick back and watch Zootopia and laugh your ass off at that little sloth.
Clem, I know you are a big I feel like you've tricked Sienna into thinking that, like, broccoli's good, right? Aren't you like, oh, broccoli, what a nice treat. And then she eats the food because you guys act like it's a big deal?
Yeah, so, like, we'll do, like, the yay for school,
right,
for the doctor, for whatever. And broccoli was one of them. However, we were watching a movie just the other day, and it was Inside Out. I think that's the name of it, right? The mm-hmm. Pixar movie, yeah.
Yep.
And they basically are like, broccoli, and the kid starts crying, and she is now turned on broccoli. So it's like the
fuck you, Inside Out.
Why would they do that?
It's such an asshole move, right?
It's like you might as well make a movie where it's like Santa Claus isn't real, too. It's like, thanks a lot, guys. You just ruined my whole like weekend of parenting now.
Yep, but you know, as a kid, even like when I was a kid, I remember like I never even had a Brussels sprout, but I knew I fucking hated them because every show was like Brussels sprouts, ew,
yep.
And then the audience laughs. So you're like, oh, Brussels sprouts are the fucking worst, you know?
And now Brussels sprouts are the little bit of olive oil drizzled over it with some sea salt and some black pepper, and you're roasting them, and they're money.
And that's how you know you're washed up. That was Washed Up Dad Talk by Chaps. I love Brussels sprouts. Hey, you know what? Your kids aren't going to eat those, though, so you can have all the Brussels sprouts with olive oil and salt and pepper you want, man.
Hell yeah.
That's all you. So along with movie life, I figured we would list out a few things that you absolutely really can't do anymore once you have a kid. Because there's some things that you can still like go out to dinner and you can still manage a few things here and there. It's certainly not the same when you have an annoying kid kind of ruining your time. But there's some stuff that I feel like you just can't do at all anymore. So I'll start off with another one. The notion of just like a happy hour alone after work for me is completely out the fucking window. Like,
blew my mind you even said that.
Exactly.
I forgot that even existed.
Right. Like, when you're deep into the dad game, you don't even realize happy hour is a thing anymore. And it sucks because I have a lot of non-dad friends. Specifically, your co-host over on Zero Blog 30, Connor, is always like, yo, yeah, you want to grab a beer? You want to, like, hop out for one? You want to pop in and grab a drink before this or that? And I'm just like, I cannot do that. That is not even a possibility anymore. If I were to just be like, hey, hon, I'm actually at the bar for like an extra two or three drinks before I hop on the train and come home, it would be like, are you out of your fucking mind? My brother was telling me his wife the other day like laughed in his face, in his friend's face. He was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna meet up with Bren later for a couple beers, and she was like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Like, that is just not a possibility anymore. Have you guys, I mean, I feel like that's just universal, right? Is there anybody out there who's allowed to do that anymore?
I mean, honest to God, when you said it, it blew my mind that people even do that. Like, I guess because, like, when I go to New York, it's basically like I can do whatever I want because I'm there. So, like, I have gone out and had drinks. But I don't even think about that being, like, a normal part of everyday people's lives.
Right, that's your vacation life. That's not normal life anymore. And Clem, I mean, I know you can't even, even if you didn't have kids, I don't think you could stop in for happy hour because you have like, that like 9 hour commute. Every single minute counts.
If I want to hang out with the fellas for an hour to drink afterwards, then it's like I'm getting home at 3 a.m. and then like I'm fucked for the rest of the week. It's funny though, because like when I do go in the city, I try to hang out with all the bar stool, the bloggers and everything. And if there's something going on, I'll have a few beers and I'll get home at like 1 a.m. and I'll be like, what the fuck did I do? And it's like, but it's like, oh, is Kevin going to stay today? And everyone's like, Kevin here? Are you out of your fucking mind? I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know if things work in the office right now.
Yeah,
so.
No. If I do stick around, people are like, what's wrong? Did something happen? Is like, did your wife leave you? I'm like, no, it's just the once a year that I'm allowed to get out.
I can't even live. Happy hour isn't like, happiness is gone. Happy hour doesn't exist for us anymore.
That's
it's
true.
Gone.
Anything with the word happy in it is probably off the list. Another one I've got on my list is travel. I'm just going to say travel. Now, you can do it at a certain age, I'm sure, but we've been in the trenches where it's just like not even considered that I'm going to like hop on a plane with a little baby. And now I'm realizing that I probably should have done it because now it's really impossible as she's becoming like into that toddler mode where I actually probably could have got away with it with her as like an infant and a newborn. And now it's like really not possible with her walking and talking. And so I'm just basically like we see like vacations, people on game shows winning trips, and we talk about our honeymoon. And I basically I'm just like, well, we'll do that again when we're 60.
See, we had these like whenever we schedule something now because McCartney at this summer was finally at the age where we thought that we could take her out and go to a place. So there's this really nice resort that's in San Antonio. So we were doing like a staycation thing. It's like end of the summer. Let's all just kind of hang out, go to the, they had like this pool with like a lazy river and water slides and like it's a PGA golf course. And so it's just like this awesome place. It was fucking terrible. Like you think about it, like whenever you're going, like the whole planning of it, like this is going to be amazing. And really looking at like the pictures with your wife or significant other is the most relaxing part about it because you're like thinking about how great it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And then the execution when you get there is so different.
So different.
You're like for us, you're still stuck in one room with two kids who you normally are you fucking hate by like 8:30 at night. So you normally tell them to go to their beds and like so you can hang out with just like my wife and I can hang out. But you don't have that. You're like up until like 11:30, like telling the little one, shut the fuck up. Like, no, you can't have any peanuts. Why would you ask for peanuts? You already brushed your teeth. No, lay down. No, I know you like this movie. It's not a movie for you. I understand you're scared. Close your eyes. You don't have to watch it. Just like over and over and over. And you just finally want to just scream, just everybody shut the fuck up. And we were supposed to stay for 3 days. And I'm thinking, maybe I could talk my wife into leaving a day early because the hot tub is broken. So, like, it's a little chilly. Like, maybe we could get a refund and come back.
Right. Like, oh, honey, I checked the weather. It looks like it's going to rain. Let's go. Like, you know what it's like when you see the commercial with the fast food and the Big Mac looks perfect. And then you get the Big Mac and it's, like, sloppy and falling all over the place. Now, I mean, I'm still going to eat the shit out of that Big Mac. But it's not what you signed up for. It's like you still do it, but you're never – that whole idea of what vacation is supposed to be and how it's supposed to go, that's gone. It ain't ever going to be that way again.
This is why, like, places like Sesame Place, like, everyone's talking about Sesame Place. It's in the middle of fucking Pennsylvania. It takes hours to drive to, and everyone's like, oh, Sesame Place sounds like a great time. I'm like, that sounds like the worst place. It's a bootleg Disney. No offense to my boys at Sesame Street. They're all my guys still.
Get them.
But, I mean, Jesus Christ, why would you want to drive to the middle of Pennsylvania? Like, oh, and you could stop at Amish country. Why the fuck would I want to stop at? That's even worse than Sesame Place. And it's just a disaster. And then the one place you can go that, like, is going to be, like, an A-plus trip is, like, Disney. But then you got to ride on the plane. Kevin, I have to say, since I'm a little ahead of you, since I have, you know, we have, like, a year on you, hearing, like, you just getting crushed by Shay with all the things she does, and I'm like, he doesn't even know. Then, like, I'm a year ahead, and I'm like, this is going to happen. And, like,
yeah,
the
it's
real
only getting worse.
When they really start moving, I'm like, this is when it's really going to fuck him up.
Dude, I just got to give you a round of applause for your ranting about Sesame Place in the Amish country. Phone Clem. Phone Clem is out today, and I am loving it.
I'm surprised. I didn't think when I woke up today that I would hear somebody shitting on the Amish, but here we are.
Like, fuck the Muppets and fuck the Amish.
I would love to stop at Amish country. I'm a big bread guy. I already mentioned it once.
You basically are Amish living out in your country, like, cooking. You probably churn your own butter out there, too, don't you?
With my moose head, like, directly behind
you. Yeah, exactly. You're basically an Amish member.
If you took a list of chins with the beards and you said which one's Chaps, I couldn't tell which one's Chaps, which one's an Amish guy.
Yeah, 100%. That's so true. Your name is probably, like, Ezekiel. Uncle Ezekiel, you fucking Amish weirdo. A couple more things on this list of things you can't do anymore, and then we'll get into the diaper bag. This is something that I wouldn't really want to do anyway, but I think it's pretty much out the window. Going to the gym. It's one of those things. Getting in shape is definitely one of those things that I'm looking back on it now, where I used to say, I don't have any time, I can't do it, and now I really don't have the time, and I'm like, oh, I could have been like Schwarzenegger. I could have been like Mr. Universe. If I had so much time back then, if I wanted to go to the gym and stay in shape, it would have been fine. Now it's like, I mean, the notion of getting motivated enough to go do something that you absolutely hate when you know that you got the kid to come home to later or your wife's going to be mad that you're out for an extra hour or two, to me, it's almost more unrealistic than happy hour, going to the gym when you're a dad. Get out of here. That's a fucking lost cause. And the last one today.
We both go 6 days a week.
Oh, yeah. Again, bizarro world down in Chaps life.
Let me just say this. My there's a bagel store I go to after I drop Sion off at daycare, and there was a ton more people in the park. I'm like, why the fuck are all these people here? New gym just opened. And I was like, fuck those people.
Fuck them all.
Up there.
Yo, you know when you hear of like the crazy conservatives who like bomb Planned Parenthood? I'm going to be like the crazy guy who bombs the gym. Like, I hate these people. This is my cause. This is my crusade. I'm blowing up the gym. And the last thing on my list today for stuff that you just absolutely can't do, don't get to do anymore when you have a kid, is have sex. It's just out the window for me. The dog, the baby, the house, the fighting. Chaps, please tell me that eventually my wife will have sex with me again when things calm down a little bit.
I can't. But, I mean, I can't say that for you. I don't have that problem, so I'm...
Oh, look at Chaps. Look at me. I still have sex. I'm so cool. I get to have. I get to fornicate. Look at you, you piece of shit.
You could have sex again when your wife wants another kid. That's what.
That's
you
about
sex.
It. That's the only time. I keep thinking the only time I'm going to be able to have sex is to procreate. So I'm like, well, I don't really want that many kids. I don't want to have like a slew of them, but I do kind of want to have sex. So, I feel like if I get a vasectomy, Chaps, she'd just be like, well, we're never having sex again now. I can't. Yeah, you don't offer me anything.
Or maybe she doesn't want to have a kid too, and if you had a vasectomy, you'd be clear hot again.
Yeah, well, that's probably not in the cards for me. Let's get into the diaper bag today. We're gonna just fire off one email because it is so silly and so ridiculous that I feel like it deserves its own slot. this guy, who was it? Let me see his name. Pat. He sends this whole email, gave me a whole bunch of backstory, but I'm just going to cut right to the chase. He says, a few months back, I switched health insurances, and the local pharmacy kept on fucking up our prescriptions, and they would overcharge us. My wife, being the penny pincher, thought it was bullshit that her birth control cost $8 extra. So we agreed we would just go with the pull-out method for a bit. And she went off the pill. Well, you know where this one's going, folks. Sure enough, after a few bang sessions, my wife hands me a positive pregnancy test. I mean, that to me, there's two things here. One, that is either the most foolish, ridiculous, that is the definition of Pennywise pound foolish. You wanted to save some money. $8 a month, so you went ahead and had the most expensive thing you can possibly have.
He's been hoodwinked.
I was going to say, and that's the other possibility here, is that this chick is diabolical and played up some Donald Trump health insurance, $8 a month extra, simply because she wanted to be knocked up. You think that's what it is, chaps?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Because, I mean, once you're married, you're not going back to condoms. If you're a married dude who's using a condom, hit stop and don't ever come back. Like, that is absolutely outrageous. Like, that you would be willing, unless there's, like, some weird allergy where, like, I don't even know if that's a thing. Don't do that.
No way.
Like, so you know you're not going back at all. So you either go on birth control or you're not doing it because the pull-out method just doesn't work. Everybody knows
it's that. It's just fake. It does not work. We learned this in, like, eighth grade health class. It doesn't work. If I ever found out that my wife really was, like, this manipulative, though, like, this is some diabolical shit to do to somebody.
That's scary. That's legitimately scary.
But in her defense, he's a fucking idiot, too.
Yeah, they're idiots, but... To be like, oh, I have to go off the pill because of like an insurance problem, because in the heat of the moment,
he's not turning down sex no matter what.
No way. That's why it's the responsibility falls on the girls because they know that we can't say no.
You're not saying no.
Yeah, no way.
Even if you know, like, oh, I don't want a baby right now. She's like, well, we could do it. You're like, okay.
Like I just said, chaps. I mean, I'm never gonna have sex again. So if the opportunity falls on the table, I'm taking it. I can't be held responsible for my actions.
Even if you know in the moment before it happens, like I talked about it, like, you know, you'll do some really freaky shit if you're horny. You know? Like you could be like, she could write down like a contract on the bed and be like, I am going to have quintuplets if we do it right now. And if you haven't done it in like a week, you're like, okay.
Done. I'll take my chances. Do it. Yeah.
But then whenever you're done, you're like that lady at the election and you're just like, no.
It's so true. To start off, you'd be like, five? Oh, I think I could do five babies. No big deal. I can make this work.
I've always wanted five. Get it all in and out. Just do the marriages in the same year, college the same year. Just get it all out of the way right now. Just five of them.
That sounds great. Let's fuck.
My buddy and his wife said he wanted five kids.
Just built some cabinets like Kramer.
What were you saying, Clem?
My buddy wanted five kids, and his wife's like, okay, I'm going to give you three live births. You get five in there, five will come out, but you're getting three births. They had their first, and they're like, yeah, we were fucking idiots. We're not going to do it. No fucking chance.
Yeah. I always laugh when I hear about new parents who are like, I want to have six. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, six of these fucking things. Are you insane? That you have to have like $50 million, let alone the amount of misery you're going to be.
Yeah, but there's got to be a breaking point where it just doesn't matter how many kids are running around your house. I think once you get like four, if you ever get to four, just fucking keep going. Like, there's no difference between four and nine.
That
like,
is true. And I think you get to a point, too, where if you space them out enough, your first one can basically, like, raise your fifth one.
Yep.
You know, it's like, yeah, you're like 16
yeah, like
and
the
she's
Duggars.
Like four. Yeah, exactly. It's like you basically have a built-in nanny now with your first kid. This dude, either you're the biggest – well, you're the biggest idiot in the world no matter what, because either you were bamboozled and hoodwinked by your wife and tricked into procreating, or you thought that $8 per month was worth risking having another child. Bro,
$8? $250,000, according to the New York Times.
Yeah, right. It's like, why don't you just do the math, man? $8 times fucking 12. I think you can manage 96 bucks
But also, in his defense, doesn't matter how had sex.
Fact. So, you know, in the end, you're still a winner, bro, because you got the bang and I didn't.
Let me just say this, though, for his sake. If he needs to blow off some steam, and if he thinks there's at least a 1% chance his wife wasn't bamboozling him, you go into that CVS, you bring your fucking positive, you know, pregnancy test, and you throw, you go, this is on you, motherfucker. You just fucking get in there. You go, don't ever fuck up another person's insurance so I could be the last person to go through this.
You almost got to, like, name those people the godfather and be like, you have to have some responsibility in this kid's life now. You need to, like, give him a birthday present and open up, like, a 529 or whatever those things are called, because this one's on you.
That's the reason why doctors will, like, absolutely eviscerate your vas deferens when you have a vasectomy now. Like, they, like, completely destroy it, like, laser
thing.
Shit. Yeah, it's just basically like fucking Dr. Evil going into town on your fucking nutsack. Because there were so many dads that would have a vasectomy, and they would end up having a kid, and the dads would come in, like, so angry. So in order to stop doing that, it was basically like they dropped, big boy and, like, Hiroshima and Nagasaki on somebody's testicles.
Like, oh, whoops, we actually just chopped your dick off, because it's the only way to really be safe about it. That's the new vasectomy. Let's wrap up today with some bedtime stories. Clem, I'm going to let you go last today because I feel like you need a moment to actually think of some happiness because phone Clem is out. I will start today. My girl Shay, she's on the move. She's walking around. She loves to kind of like be independent, and she likes the fact that she can walk and explore and all that. So she's kind of on her own now. But if I stick out one finger, like if I put my hand out and just put out one finger, it's like she's contractually obligated to grab it and, like, hold my hand. It's like she can't stop herself from doing it, and it's the cutest little fucking thing in the world. She just, like, reaches up with her little paw, grabs onto my finger, and wherever I walk, she walks. She could be in the middle of, like, the best game, playing with the best toys, exploring where she shouldn't be. I put the finger out, and she's, like, it's like a tractor beam. It's like, brrr. She just has to come over and grabs my little finger, and we walk around together. And she's at the perfect height where if I just put my finger down at my waist, she can reach it. And we're just like the odd couple walking around. I fucking love it. The one finger walk with Shea Bear.
I love those moments too, man, when my daughters were little. That's a good time. And I don't think that's one thing that you would enjoy as much with the little boy as you do with the little girl.
Yeah, I can see that. Like a girl, I think it's like a cutesy little thing to walk around with my boy. I'd be like,
fuck, you walk,
yeah,
dude. Like,
exactly.
You lazy piece of shit.
Right.
Walk.
Get over here yourself, you loser.
So. Fuck, I just had mine. I forgot it. Oh, okay, so McCartney this week, also on Don't Tell Your Mother, like bedtime/ Don't Tell Your Mother, because my wife and older daughter went to the Women's March in Austin, so they were all up there together, and it was just me and McCartney back at home, and I was watching some TV. I forget what I was watching, and I had made an old-fashioned to drink. And so McCartney was like eating goldfish and hanging out and coloring. And then I went to go to the bathroom and I came back and McCartney had my old fashioned glass like at her mouth, like taking a sip. And I was like surprised because normally like kids, I mean, I've let my kids like try booze before anyways. But normally they don't like it at all. I was like, you like that? She was like, yeah, it's good. I was like, hell yeah. I was like, when you're older, me and you will kick back many of these, my friend. Me and you are going to be boys.
And when you mean older, you're saying like 9, 10 maybe.
Yeah, 9, 10. Yeah, like, whenever I wanted to go to bed at like 8 and shut up.
Yeah, here you go. Just sip on this. Sleep for 12 hours.
Drinking old fashions with a 4-year-old this weekend was pretty nice.
Yeah, I love it, man. Angry Clem, let's soften up here. Come see the softer side of Clem. What do you got for me, bedtime story, to wrap it up?
Yeah, this was definitely my bright moment of the week. So like I said, I'm sick. The baby's sick. So we're all in bed, all three of us with my wife. And it was like the morning. It was like probably like 8 o'clock, and we're just chilling. And Sienna just, whenever the kids rip a fart, it's hilarious, right? So she just lets one fly, and it's like a like it's a solid fart. So then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get on this train too. Like, I could just blame it on the baby, right? I've never had a dog. I can never blame it on the dog. So I just let one rip. And my wife hears it, and she goes, wait. She goes, did you guys just both fart? And I start laughing. Sienna starts laughing. And I'm like, yeah, we did. And it was like the first, and we're laughing at, and my wife goes, that's disgusting. And I'm laughing, the baby's laughing, and I'm like, yes. For once, it felt good to be like on the good side of the 2-on-1. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, we're a team. We were a team this morning. It might have just been a fart, but we were a team, and it felt great.
Yo, there's just something about farts. It's just divine comedy. The good Lord made us fart like in the tiniest little hole right in between the two fattest cheeks on our body. It's there for a reason. It makes a funny noise for a reason. Farting with your daughter, there's nothing quite like it, Clem.
There is a shift. You guys are full on toddler mode. I'm telling you, as the dad of an 11-year-old, there is a shift, and it happens at around 6. Like, when you're like, okay, you nasty little thing. Like, that should not happen at any time in the future. You disgusting little worm.
Only on the Podfathers, the only parenting podcast where you're going to hear all about farting with your kid on purpose and laughing in your wife's face. That's it for the Podfathers. Catch us next week. Me and Chaps are going to be in Houston for the Super Bowl, so we'll see how I'll get to see how Chapsy does dad life down in Texas. So tune in. Tell your friends, subscribe, rate us, review us, 5 stars, and we'll see you guys in the Super Bowl next week. We're out.